Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one is that Royals offense that came alive last night. 13-2 winners against the Cubs. 18 hits, couple home runs as well. Awfully fun to watch and much, much needed for the fan psyche and certainly the player psyche. Nice way to get right, get the confidence back. Let's see, though, if they can carry some of this over into a very important series. All the series are important, but certainly run-wise against the Minnesota Twins.
You're not winning
games against the Twins 2-1. You're probably not going to happen as good.
Even
if the pitching's been as good as it has been, and Brad Keller was fantastic last night. Not a stressful outing, but still his first outing of 2020. Love seeing the offense get going last night. Let's hope, though, that this gets them right going forward.
Ideally, Twins 10 for the next 14 of their game.
And the Royals are 4-10.
Yikes! That's going to be trouble. We'll see. I'm hoping for good things for the Royals. I mean, they want to make up a distance against the AL leader. Here's your chance. Number two for what's trending, the Big Sky Conference has canceled their football season for this fall, raising questions across college football as if the FCS is looking at the possibility of spring football. That doesn't seem outlandish to me now that you've watched the Big Sky go down. I think it's just going to be a lot easier for these smaller conferences. If their games are getting eliminated anyway against the Power 5 squads, those are the big pay games for you. You might be better off just heading down that grouping a little bit, or at least a little bit longer, to try to pay those things off. So for me, I just think that it's one of the smaller ones to hit the block. The FCS should probably be looking for spring football anyway. It might be their best play.
Yes, and we also see today, it looks like maybe even the Missouri Valley Football Conference is going to postpone or cancel their fall season, which impacts a Big 12 opponent, which is Kansas in this case. My point being, you're going to have these smaller conferences that are going to really impact the non-conference slate for a lot of schools. And we'll continue to see this, I think, a lot as we get closer and closer. I mean, some of these schools are planning on having their home opener in like 3.5-4 weeks or so.
Yep.
Something to keep an eye on for sure. Next up on what's trending, the PGA Championship going on out in San Francisco. Haotong Lee, the leader at 7-under. He's 4-under today through 9 holes. Brendan Todd, Jason Day in second. Of course, everybody keep an eye on Tiger Woods. He is currently tied for 24th. He has not teed off yet today. He had a 68 yesterday, so we'll see how he is. He was 2-under. We'll see if he can't make some ground up today. Gary Woodland, local product, tied for 14th. 3-under for the tournament. He has not yet teed off either. That'll be around 1:36, or I guess 12:36. I get the time zones all messed up there. 12:36, I believe. Yeah, less than a half hour or so from now.
Next up on what's trending, a little concern out of baseball. Mark Saxon, who's a senior writer over for The Athletic, is reporting that the Cardinals game tonight postponed.
Uh-oh.
Due to further positive COVID test results.
I can't stop playing blackjack. What the hell's going on, St. Louis?
More details as they become available. That hasn't spread. That was maybe 5 minutes ago he tweeted that out.
Well, baseball
just
came out.
So wait for the National guys. They'll have it here in a minute.
Baseball
Mark
just came out,
Saxon from The Athletic
with that schedule.
Out there first. And apparently the game against the Cardinals is going to be postponed tonight due to another positive COVID test. Or positives. He put positive parentheses S. So obviously his source wasn't good enough to tell him whether or not it was one or two or three or four guys who had tested positive, but instead they were supposed to be back on the field tonight. They got to delay their start back to the field apparently because of another positive test.
Yeah, that's certainly not good news. We know baseball just came out with a revised schedule, which will feature a triple header.
Oh, that was good for...
And yep, looks like another adjustment.
That was good for all of 5 seconds.
Triple header. Get out of here. Let's hope that it's just a positive test and not multiple to where we're thinking this thing's going to delay some more games going forward. Remember, eventually, not yet, we got some time if you're the Royals, eventually it will start to impact the Royals because of the Cardinals and other NL
Correct.
Central teams are on the schedule. We're not there yet, but that's why this is also concerning. Next up on What's Trending, Ian Rapoport reporting some news out of Broward State Attorney, from the Broward State Attorney. The Giants corner DeAndre Baker charged with 4 counts of robbery with a firearm. Remember that incident from a month or two ago? While Seahawks defensive back Quentin Dunbar was not charged due to insufficient evidence, both currently on the exempt list. Remember that whole story? Like, look, there was a report that
one
maybe paid,
one
paid,
the
paid off
like
the other. Did that really
it?
Happen? I mean, who knows? Who knows?
I mean, that's fascinating to say the least, but boy. The sentence, if Baker
Ruin
were to be
your career's over, man.
Convicted, the mandatory minimum in that state for that is 10 years to life. So, yeah, that would be a bit of a deal, just so you know, if you're trying to confirm that. So that would be, I mean, I can't believe they didn't have enough for Baker, they had enough for Baker, but not enough for Dunbar. But that's just the way these things go sometimes, I guess. That's just how it is. By the way, Jesse Rogers has now confirmed that at least one positive test. Game postponed. No word yet on the rest of that series. Next up on What's Trending, bankruptcy judge approves the sale of the XFL in that group that included Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They had to get through some of the legalese on that end after buying the league for $15 million with Red Bird Financial. Obviously, we talked a lot about where that deal will go. But now more than ever, spring football wouldn't be all that bad. Though, I don't know, maybe they're competing against the FCS. Maybe they'll compete against college football, the FBS, by the time this thing actually rolls around. But not surprising. We assumed this was going to be approved. Good timing for them, and we'll see how, like you said, you're going to wait a couple years before you go with the XFL.
Well, it's just we've seen so many of these attempt to be successful, and they last 6 months or a year. People buy in. You start to buy in. These cities and communities buy in, and people are left out to dry and left with bills, right? Because
sure.
They didn't get paid. That's what we've seen here. And so, yeah, that's disheartening. Now, if the XFL is to survive with The Rock, and I think it's a good start having him in you know, as the face of the league now, they're still going to long-term have to find a partnership with the National Football League. I mean, that was the end game for
sure.
The alliance, for the XFL, even prior with Vince McMahon. They've got to get a partnership, and the NFL's got to help them out for it to be sustainable, I think, long-term. It's one thing for 2 or 3 years, and they can't even get to that point right now. So, yes, exciting, but let's... Let's wait and see if this thing all works out fully. Lastly, on What's Trending, news from Jeffrey Flanagan, that over at the Royals' alternate spring training or summer camp site, I guess it is, T-Bone Stadium, club officials have been impressed with how well Matt Harvey has looked so far.
Oh.
Quote, he's throwing really well. Stay tuned on how Harvey will fit into their plans over the next few weeks. The dark night, we know the Royals went out and signed him. It's been rough going the last couple years, to say the least, for Matt Harvey, but... if you can add him maybe to your bullpen or a spot start if needed, because your rotation,
they're fine in the rotation,
your rotation's
now.
Good. Yeah, but you never, hey.
Yeah. I know you never know, but right now he's fine there. So if they want to bring
this
him in,
this is a positive. They signed to a minor league deal. There was no risk involved with that. You know, impressed with how he's throwing. Now it's, you know, it's throwing at an alternate site. It's not big league ball.
Sure.
But still.
So let's not get carried away. But yeah, I get your point.
Positive news. Positive
yeah,
news
for
there.
Sure.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up. At 1 o'clock, we'll talk with Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride, get his perspective on now that the opt-outs have happened, the 3 for Kansas City, and we learn some more information about just how much money is open for KC, maybe to roll over, maybe to be even more aggressive this year, around $13 million or so. We'll get into that with Pete Sweeney coming up at 1 o'clock, plus his weekend movie nomination, which all of our nominations are up on our Twitter account, at 610SportsKC. You have till 1:30 to vote. the theme this week, weather movies. Some a little more weather-related than others.
Why get it like Pete?
Pete Sweeney, The Truman Show. So check that out, and we'll see what we're watching this week in addition to sports. But we were talking some Royals there just a second ago, and you know, last night it was all about the offense. That was a huge story, and justifiably so. We've talked quite a bit about that throughout today's show, and it was great to see. Hopefully that gets them some confidence. A well-deserved performance, ultimately, of how it went. Like, you know, it's been frustrating, clearly, for those guys the last week or so of the season. But the pitching's been there, and Keller was good to see him. But maybe more importantly, just in terms of even how things factor in long-term, is a guy that a lot of people thought would have been it was the future at the time when he was drafted, and that was Kyle Zimmer, and that is Kyle Zimmer right now. And even his last outing out of the bullpen was his longest outing prior to last night in his big league career, and that was three innings. And last night he continues and follows it up with another very, very strong outing. He looks fantastic.
This is as good as he's ever looked. And I've been following Zimmer's career for a while, and I've long since, like, touted him as one of those savior types, right? Like, front of the line rotation, here comes Kyle Zimmer. I mean, he had been hurt so much. He had gone through all that stuff. I mean, I had long since, I was like, oh, you know what? Just for his sake, I hope he becomes a productive major league player. Right? That was it. Like, that's all I was, you know, that's all I was hoping for out of what Kyle Zimmer could be. And then all of a sudden, he's really good. Like, last year was a struggle for him. He only pitched in 18 innings. But, man, he was constantly walking guys, more than one walk per inning pitched. He was having trouble with hits and walks. Like, it was all bad. Like, and he just struggled, right? He gave up in 18 innings last year. He gave up 28 hits. He gave up 19 walks. And he gave up two home runs. That's a lot, Gold. He gave up 22 runs and posted a 10.80 ERA. He struggled. Now, he's a young pitcher. Ish.
Mm-hmm.
Not young, real young. He's 27, but young to the league, early in the league. And that was the first time he'd been healthy in forever. So I thought, okay, look, this is just him on the mound. Let's have the conversation that he can take the leap forward and take that next step, right? And we'll be all golden. But then what happened was, and there was a story from Alec Luce in The Athletic that's really good about it. He found his command. So far this year, he has walked only two batters in eight innings, only given up five hits in eight innings, and has 10 strikeouts during that, and has an ERA at 1.13. This is a very limited sample size, and I don't know if it can hold. But this is as good as Kyle Zimmer has looked at any stage of his professional career. And seemingly, maybe just because wherever him and his buddy moved in, he was down the door from a pitching coach who solved the problem.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, I don't know what kind of indictment that is on the Royals pitching coaching to maybe, like, not to have unlocked this. But seriously, it's that kind of thing that turns this kid into an ace reliever? I don't know how much is going to hold. This is one of those, like, hey, check back with me in a few months when I want to see, like, the full entirety of a partial season for Kyle Zimmer. But if they find something in him, then they are really loaded at reasonable, cheap-priced talent at the major league level, especially for the bullpen.
It is a wild story, right, in The Athletic from Alec Luce. It was a really good piece and an interesting story because I don't know how people, if anybody knew that backstory, I certainly didn't. And sometimes it's just a different pair of eyes, right? I mean, sometimes,
sure.
You know, I mean, you mentioned, you know, why was this not done before? Sometimes it's just a different set of eyes that sees that, and it's something so simple. And if that's, I mean, if that's all it was, then yeah, it's awfully amazing. His struggle always has been just, you know, can he finish even a 60-game season? Can he get through this? Can he get through this healthy? I mean, that's that we all know the injury history with Kyle Zimmer, unfortunately.
And but
it's been
nice
to see.
Helped him get through that. He's been healthy for the better part of a year now.
Yes,
he has been struggling with injuries. Last year, he got sent
back
down to the minors
stretch.
He couldn't get out.
Yeah, but this is like his longest stretch, though, where he's been healthy in probably pre-pro career.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of optimism around the pitching staff. Real quick, Royals news, since we're talking about him, by the way. The Royals have reinstated Jorge Lopez from the family medical emergency list, but then immediately DFA'd him. So he has been designated for assignment. My assume is that he'll clear waivers and end up back with Kansas City. I say that not knowing exactly how desperate teams are going to be. The Marlins had to sign some people right off the street, and now the Cardinals, apparently, latest positive test came from after 3 days of all clean results, but through contact tracing, weren't shocked this player had been near the others, apparently, that according to John Morosi. So we'll see on that. So I'm not sure if, you know, he'll have desirability, but like this is where, like, I come out of this last night and I'm telling myself they should be thinking about Brad Keller like the young starters, because he's only a year older than Brady Singer, has, you know, 50 starts under his belt, and has posted a sub-3.65 ERA in that stretch. They got a bullpen. Even if I just take out the guys they can't control, Holland, Rosenthal, like they got Kennedy. Those are guys they don't have control over moving forward. You start talking to me about a bullpen, if Zimmer's going to be real, if it's Zimmer and Zuber and Stamont, and I still think Lovelady could be good enough in the big leagues as well. Like, you start talking yourselves into this young pitching staff to go with the starters, all of the math starts to add up. Kyle Zimmer was a guy that I had never fully, like, he signed back at Kansas City almost as like a favor, right? Like, he could have signed with somebody else who might have given him a shot, but Kansas City stuck with him throughout that entire stretch. I feel really good about the entire pitching staff going forward if some of these stats can hold through the rest of the year. Zimmer, I want to see more on, but now he's getting outs. He always had good stuff. Now he's getting outs.
I mean, we have known that for this next, you know, potential championship opportunity, it's going to be driven by pitching. I mean, now, are we now talking about maybe a few guys you didn't expect to add to it? And is that exciting? And that's where you get into what you've brought up.
Correct.
You know, maybe to down the road where you can have some trade bait to go help you in your lineup. I mean, that's what the luxury of having, if you do have a true surplus. I'm not ready to say they have a surplus of pitching. I'm not ready to say that because we know there's so many factors that can alter that very, very quickly. With not just injuries, but just so many different things can change, and we still haven't seen a ton of a lot of these guys that we continue to talk about being the next crop. But it is very exciting to know that maybe someone that, I won't use the word completely written off, but still you wonder how much was what you were going to really get out of the guy.
Sure.
That maybe there is more than we all thought there was there. And as far as Brad Keller goes, and the reason why, you know, maybe he's not viewed in the same way as Singer or Bubich and Kowar and Lynch, the guys that we all talk about, this next wave that's going to be vital.
Singer should be.
You know.
Keller should be.
I think a lot of it is just going back to when he was called up, and he's not, he's an eighth round pick. You know, he's not a first rounder.
He wasn't even their eighth round pick.
Exactly. That's another part of it, I think. And he hadn't been talked about for a long time. Even though these guys like Singer were just drafted in 2018, it wasn't like they'd been in 4 years ago. But still, their names, from the minute they drafted, people have been keeping an eye on. Royals fans have been watching, because those years, the last couple of years of 100 lost seasons, that's been that hope, that name you've attached to, has been Singer, Bubich, Lynch, Kowar. It hasn't been Keller, because he's been on the big league club. And so maybe that's not fair, but that I think is the answer why. And I do think, if I'm talking about who I think can be a number one starter for this team in the future, I don't think Keller is the guy that I would say is the one. You know, I think it's going to be either a Lacy, a Singer, or a Kowar, or a Lynch. And it's all about upside, no doubt. It's all about the upside and the unknown. That's how all this
works.
But
after next season, so Singer's going to get, what, like 10, 12 starts this year.
Mm-hmm.
After next season, a full season, he gets 30 starts for the Royal Singer. He had the 12 this year. He's approaching the 50-ish starts, 49 starts I'm talking about with Brad Keller.
Yep.
And if I told you at the end of that, he had pitched with a 3.62 ERA and had 225 strikeouts, and you would take that for Singer, and somehow you're telling me
I would take it for Singer, but
identical major league stats.
Yes,
you still think Singer's more likely to be an ace for Keller? I think that's like silly.
There's two different questions you asked, though. You asked, would I take that for Singer? You didn't ask, do I think Singer can be better than that?
But at the end of that year,
would I take it? Absolutely, I would take that for every single one of these young pitchers. The whole staff,
but
of course.
Stop looking at Brady Singer as an ace at the end of a year. Like, if that's where he is at the end of next year, makes a 30-start season, he's got a 3.62 ERA between this season and next season, are you still going to tell me Brady Singer is a top-of-the-rotation guy because you're telling me Keller isn't?
Maybe not, because it's the upside. You're right. A lot of the factor is the upside. But guess what? But then I would say what? And then I would say, well, yeah, then there's still Bubich and there's still Ace Lacy. Like, I just think there's a lot of obstacles for Brad Keller to be the one.
I think it's because you've seen him.
I've seen the struggle, but also I think it speaks to the positive end, which is what we think this rotation and what we think all these young guys can be. That you're right on a lot of teams. Maybe that is good enough to be the one. What you just described. on a lot of teams. But I think there's a chance that Singer's better than what you're saying that 50 game stretch has been for Keller. I think there's a chance that all these guys maybe have better numbers. Now we know that, you know, not all five guys are going to do that because they'd have one of the most ridiculous rotations in baseball if that's the case.
If they have that, then you should probably be talking about competing for divisions and competing for playoff spots. And
I mean, at that point, they'd be entering like Atlanta Braves 90s type of stuff. You know,
their best starter that year they won the World Series of Worlds. And that was a weird staff. They carried themselves more with their offense than they did with their pitching. They only had one 200-inning guy, all the things that you're going to point out to me here just now, which are all fair, reasonable things, and Cueto came in late. But their best starter that year was Chris Young, who remarkably put up a 3.06 ERA that one year.
That was amazing.
Nobody else. Edison Volquez was 3.55, same as Keller. Ventura that year, 4.08. And this is just ERA. I know there's other stats, but this is an easy one to track. Duffy, 4.08. And what, you know, what, like, when you go back to think of Danny Duffy, what do you think of the most dominant Danny Duffy? The answer is actually 2015, 2014, before he got hurt.
Yeah. Most recently 2016. But,
But 2016, he posted a 3.51 ERA in 179 innings. That's Brad Keller right now. That's the part that I'm so confused about Keller. We're like, man, remember 2016 Danny Duffy? I wish we could get that. We have that. In current day,
yeah, it's because he hasn't done
now,
it.
What, the, for Brad again, I'm telling Keller, you, he already exists.
I'm telling you, just in terms of the fan for looking as a fan,
sure.
How I'm, it's because there it's viewed as well. Those are meaningless games.
I know,
right?
I mean, I know. There's no pressure.
That's
why. Sure, that changes things too. By the way, with Zimmer too, the best part is because he signed here in Kansas City. The way it works is like they regain control of him. It's a 1 year deal, but like the baseball's so funny. Essentially, just because they didn't have service time. They actually have him for this year at league minimum. They have team control for the next 2 years, and then he'd be arbitration eligible for the next 3 years. So they actually ever figure anything out with Zimmer, they technically have 5 more years of control with him after this if they want it. So, like, their pitching staff is completely under control for a long time.
We'll talk some more Royals baseball coming up in the next half hour, specifically the Chiefs and Royals and how people view each franchise. We view them differently. We know last night we saw on the broadcast, too, the virtual fans that Fox was pumping in. That was very interesting to see for the first time
at
Kauffman Stadium out there. I know you've been down on the virtual fans. I wasn't surprised that you didn't like the virtual fans. Are there going to be any fans, though, at NFL stadiums this year? We learned that the Packers now have decided to be empty for the first 2 games, and then they're going to reevaluate. I think this makes all
just
the sense in the
go.
World. There's no downside here. This is what the Chiefs should do as well. The Chiefs should do this as well, man, because you still have that opportunity for a little bit of hope, maybe October, November. I personally don't think we'll see fans out there. If they're not having fans in September, I don't think we'll see them in November, but there's no harm in saying, you know what, we've announced we're going to send out a release here September 10th against the Texans in the first month of the season, 2 months of the season. Not going to have fans at Arrowhead, but let's reevaluate. Let's not close this whole sucker down way before we have to.
It's, what's the point? Like, I know you're saying, like, there's not no hope.
Because there's no need to do it yet. There's no need.
Yeah,
and fans, there's something to be said for hope. There is something
like, if you're
said
saying,
for
like,
some hope.
Technically, do they have to cancel the season now as far as fans go? No. But there's also no need to just, like, live in a false reality. Like, I live in the reality world. And in the reality world, I don't see how this is going to happen. Like, Iowa announced yesterday, we're thinking like 15,000. Why, Iowa? Why? You're not even sure your players are going to be able to play yet. You want to start talking about 15,000? What good does it do? I think it would almost be better for the Packers to make no announcement than to make this one.
Well, that'd be worse because then you have fans not wondering if they're going to be spending money or is they're getting their money.
That's
refund
what they're
or whatever.
Doing now. They're just giving them the false hope of down the road they might be spending the money. So they're like holding their money hostage, the way you're describing. They're like, hey, you know
nobody's
what?
Nobody's preventing them from canceling.
But we might do it later. Versus like, well, you know, you're not giving them any hope if they don't do that. But there is no hope on that end. And they're gonna have fans in the stands.
I think
we're on the rest of the year without any fans.
I don't believe that we're going to see fans at Arrowhead either, but if the Chiefs came out tomorrow and said, hey, look, the first 2 months of the season, we're not going to have fans. We want to reevaluate this in 2 months. Of course, we want to make sure you are all safe, but we understand how much energy and you bring to the organization, yada, 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 yada. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I don't think there's much of a downside with that. We know what. Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, has already said no fans for the Eagles and for the Phillies. And we know Green Bay now waiting 2 months. The Raiders have a brand new stadium, all the incentive in the world to try to have fans.
They said no, buddy.
And they said no. It doesn't seem, you know, realistic in that regard. Now, we have seen a couple American sports leagues have fans. Now, they're in different setups. You know, NASCAR's had some fans out at their tracks. Now, a lot of those stadiums, the speedways, you know, 100,000 people. So they're able to have 20,000 and spread them out a lot easier. We know that some minor league soccer, I can't remember the league, it wasn't the NWSL, but another soccer league, and I guess NWSL is not minor league, I apologize there.
Yeah, that's a professional league.
But there was another soccer league that is minor league, USL maybe, I don't know. They've had some fans out of their soccer matches in Oklahoma, so it's not as if we haven't seen it in the U.S.
I understand, but there's way too much money on the line for NFL teams. Like, that minor league soccer team, part of how they earn their money are people there. The NFL risks their television dollars by putting people in the stands. That's why I think they're less likely to do it.
Coming up next, how we judge the Royals versus the Chiefs. Does it make a whole lot of sense? And we'll get to the random question of the day.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, going to join us 30 minutes from now. Get back into the Chiefs, including where they're at cap-wise now with three opt-outs. Just how vital does he think it's going to be for Simile Rimmers going forward and the long-term impact with Niang opting out? Talk some Chiefs in just a little bit. So yesterday you were on the drive. You were talking some Royals baseball.
Yes. And I was asked, I guess they were having kind of a bigger conversation about it. I was curious what you guys thought. Carrington had asked me why the Royals get a pass essentially for more struggles than the Chiefs ever did. And my response was, for the most part, they didn't. This is a more recent phenomena, in my opinion, than in his. He's like, even during the 90s, people just be like, they're just trying to get him to be passable. I'm like, nah, man. Like, in the deep, maybe you didn't see it more on a broad scale for Kansas City, but for the people who are Royals fans, they were calling for Muser's head. They were calling for players. They wanted Sweeney to get the hell out of town. Like, there were people who called for struggling players, who called for struggling managers, who called for struggling ownership to be different than it was during that time. To me, it's a more recent phenomena where if you wanted to, like, if I came on the air today and said, the Royals are not a well-run organization, if that was the statement I said, then I'd get kickback. I'd get some people would be like, yeah. And then you get kickback from a large-scale portion of the fan base, right? And I don't think they're a poor-run organization. But it's fair to question what Carrington, I think, is talking about is why now do we not question further how in year 12 of the Dayton Moore era are we still looking at 100-loss seasons year in and year out? And I think, obviously, World Series, back to World Series.
That'll help.
Sure, of course it does. And I think it's when the World Series came in. So when Dayton Moore took over, this is why I think it is. When Dayton Moore took over, they were a really bad organization. They were not well run. They had a lot of struggles. And then Dayton took a few years to get them turned around so that the minor league system was good. So they were still bad as a team, but much better as an organization. And then after a few more years of that talent developing, they found themselves as not a bad team, pretty good team, World Series contending team, World Series winning team, and then not a bad team like contending. And then the next 4 years is when they've spent being bad. So as a fan base, what happened was you saw the years it took to get everything rolling, that 7-year plan that eventually came to fruition based on where they were, and now it's doing it. The question is, why is it taking 7 years this time? So far, it's only taken 4. But it doesn't look real good for this year. So then we're talking, it's like, so are they a playoff contending next year? If they aren't, then we're at 5. This is the time where I think you can start asking questions about why is the rebuild taking this time? And eventually people will give you a pass for small market stuff, but other small market teams have been competitive during that time, so that's not necessarily fair. And I think now, if Carrington's saying, why aren't people being harder on him? Part of the reason is because the Chiefs are so damn good, you relax a little bit on the rest of it. Like Mahomes takes the pressure off a little bit because expectations don't have to be as high because you got somebody else doing the heavy lifting.
It's interesting you say that because, and that might be the case, but typically if you're in other markets that have multiple franchises here, we
it's
have
like, why
we have
can't
two.
They be good like
normally
the
it
good?
Actually puts more pressure on that other organization. So you're saying that the Chiefs are so damn good right now,
Mahomes
and
is
Mahomes
so good.
Is the face of the NFL and the star power. He can do no wrong. It seems like right now the Chiefs can do no wrong. That is taking the pressure off of the Royals, which is interesting because typically I would say it's the exact opposite. I would say when across the parking lot one organization is having the success, it puts way more of the pressure and the attention on you. Now, you could argue maybe that's not happening this go-around because of Mahomes, but typically that's the exact opposite what normally happens, whether you're in Kansas City or any other market. If
sure.
If I'm down in Houston.
I think that actually happened to the Chiefs when the Royals won the World Series.
Yes, absolutely, and sometimes that can be a very good thing, right? There's pressure.
They drafted Pat Mahomes after that, didn't they?
You know, there's pressure to go out and win, so I actually think it's normally that. I also believe it's the difference in sport and just the way it works. So the NFL is the most popular sport in the country. The NFL, there's 16 games. It's, yes, a six-month season.
And it's easy
but you
to
don't,
go from bad to
it,
good.
It absolutely is. You don't take 5 years to see a guy develop and become your star pitcher, right? Even though, unfortunately, it looks like maybe Brady Singer and Bubich, these guys are going to be the real deal, and it only took 2 years to get here, right? But still,
sure.
Overall, it could be 4 or 5 years. Bobby Witt, who knows how long. You know, you got to wait. People are impatient. You got to wait a little bit, and then it may not work out. Whereas in the football, there's plenty of times it doesn't work out, but there's no guaranteed contracts. You can move on fairly quickly.
Yeah, and
bring in the other guy.
Call for an organization that actually has shown success. I think it was just 5 years and they were never any good. Then, like, if the last 4 years were under a different ownership or like a different general manager, right? Like they just lost 100 losses several years in a row. I think it'd be fair to be like, hey, is this the right answer? But I can't just ignore the fact that at time they did succeed. They did get it right. My question for Dayton would just be like, why is it taking this long this time? Not can you do it again? Why this time is it going for 7 years again? Is that because, now he's talked a lot about this, that he wants to be successful for a longer period of time this time through. He doesn't want to have that short burst. He wants to be successful for a long period of time. And what it takes to do that is to do what the Rays did for a decade. Invest in pitching.
A lot easier
so
to find hitting
than
pitching.
Yeah, but the problem was they hadn't been investing in pitching the way the Rays were during that time because it's currency, it makes you better immediately, and maybe the long-term plan. See, for me, the optimist, I would say Dayton's fine. What he's doing right now is investing in pitching so that they can be good for a long term. And yes, you ideally, it wouldn't take 6 years to do that. But if your farm system was weak with pitching, and you did trade a lot during that World Series run, then you have to take time to develop that. I'm still worried about the hitters. I still think it's fair to question some of the organizational decisions that have taken place during that time. But I'm understanding of, like, I think, and maybe that's where baseball is. Maybe they get more of a pass because people are more understanding. But, it's hard to say why that would be the case.
Now, Chiefs fans will tell you 2012 felt like the longest season ever. However, I do think we, time and time again, we say it's the dog days of summer in baseball. When you're on your way to a 100-loss season or a 90-loss season in baseball, and there's no other sports on the calendar, and it's July and August before the NFL season starts, or June, July, August, I think that also is why, if you're saying why do they get why is one viewed
yeah.
a different way, I think it's just the nature of the scheduling, the amount of games. It doesn't drag. Generally speaking, the NFL normally doesn't drag on the way baseball sometimes can. When you're a losing team in baseball, that season consistently feels like forever. Whereas in football,
yeah.
2012 again was the worst sports season I've ever seen in my life.
I also understand that it's easier to turn
the
ship around.
Yeah.
Like, think about how quickly the Chiefs went from one of the worst run organizations and one of the worst seasons ever to playoff team. Like a year. The Niners were the number two overall pick in the NFL and then went to, the Super Bowl.
It's just the development of the sport's just so much different.
The guys come around quicker. Like, if you got to fix your major league team, right, you got problems because a lot of your stars left, right? Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain, Mike Moustakas, you'd be like, well, you could have just signed all those guys. I mean, how many of those would you feel good about?
Yeah, not Hosmer.
If you just signed everybody from that Super Bowl or World Series team, how many of you have been like, yeah, I mean, Kane, I'd have loved Kane keeping around. And Moustakas has continued to put up pretty good numbers.
But not the Hosmer deal that he signed in San Diego.
It's not cost prohibitive. And so, Like, I think some of it is just that. Like, in baseball, it is a lot easier to turn the ship. And Dayton admitted, this time through, he wants to find a way to develop it so that it is longer lasting than the last time.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. From the 816, the reason as a casual Royals fan is that we see these two winning years as flukes. And they
apathy?
And then you normally suck is what they how they phrased it, so it feels normal. That's how they win, where it's like, you're kind of just used to oh yeah, both
non-winning franchise a lot more than they've been a winning
franchise. For sure. Up until 2015, my whole life they were
I was born in 84, so technically they were.
Oh, you were born. But for me, I can speak to. Now I'm only 20. I'm only 29. But like
in the time in which I was watching and consuming baseball, so assume like 1990 on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, look, side Brett for a few years. We're good in the strike year before things went down, but after that, it was pretty bleak.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting conversation you had with them yesterday, and then certainly that they had on the drive. And I think it's a fair question. It's an interesting way to step back, yeah. But I think there are plenty of answers as to why. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
So this is, I was driving around yesterday, even today some. It'd be like 75, 80 degrees, and I am bothered by the amount of people who drive around with their windows up like lunatics when it's gorgeous outside. So the question for you and Serta in the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610, is how often do you drive with your windows down? To be clear, I will drive with my windows down anywhere from the temperatures from 55 to 95 if it's just me in the car. So I will understandably say that I am outside of the normal temperature range. But why aren't people driving their windows down when it's 70?
What are you trying to save gas on AC? 95?
No, it feels nice.
So for okay, that's a good point as well.
I'll turn the AC on and still drive the windows
95
down.
Does not feel nice.
But I'll turn the AC on and still drive the windows down.
That is a complete... What are you... AC on with the windows down? What are you doing?
What's the matter?
What are you doing?
What difference does that make?
Yeah, because that just it's not like a house. Counterproductive.
It doesn't cost more to cool it.
It costs fuel.
Yeah.
Running AC, burning through gas for no reason.
Just launching your AC out into the world.
How does it bug you? How does it bug you, by the way, that other people...
drive the windows down?
How does it bug you that I have my
windows down yesterday?
Yesterday. No, I did not.
I did yesterday evening. I did not when I left here because it was hot.
It's definitely
so
more of an evening thing when the sun is kind of going down a little bit. It's more of an evening thing. Now, if it is, you know, when we get one of these days here when it's, you know, like if we've had the hot stretch like we have and it's, did I roll my windows down, I think like 2 or 3 days ago? Yeah. I mean, it's high as 70 degrees and it's like cool and refreshing. Yes, I'll do that. But once you get north of 75, the windows are probably staying up. I don't want the hot. I don't want
north
the warm.
75.
I don't
you're,
want the
you're cut
warm.
75.
Yeah, if it's 80 plus, I don't want the windows down.
What do you keep your AC at your house?
In the summertime, AC probably at 73, 74.
Okay. I thought for some reason you were going to say lower based on this 75.
Now,
for windows down.
Yeah, just now in Houston where everything was miserably hot and humid. That AC bill was horrendous there. That was set down even lower because I just couldn't stay. I couldn't take it. Couldn't take it.
Someone says I hate the noise on the highway. I'll keep them down on the highway, but I can respect the decision to roll up the windows on the highway.
Noise is loud. Or if you have longer hair, if you're a female, or even if you're a male, you're like you got your hairstyle. You're like you're going somewhere. Let's say you're going on a nice date. You got a big important event, Cody.
Maybe people have allergies this time of year.
Well,
do you not have allergies?
Nope.
Oh, you're lucky. Enjoy that.
Yeah,
see, this guy gets to do the windows down AC when it's 90.
I got
windows up only with the kids in the car, and if it's raining, I roll my windows down on my kids too. I don't care.
See, this guy from the 816 got to protect the pompadour hairdo. That's why my windows stay up. If you got the hair gel up, it'll ruin the hairstyle if you have the.
What if you're just going home?
No. If you're just going home, that's not.
You crack the windows down. You can just fix your hair when you get home.
I rolled the windows down on Tuesday when it was 70 degrees outside because it was nice, but if it's 90 degrees, I'm not rolling my windows down.
Like, are you going to roll your windows down when you leave today? I am. 1,000%. No question.
I mean, now you got me thinking about it now, I'll tell you that. You got everybody thinking about it now.
Like Tuesday, I'll be driving around and like 80% of the windows are up. Like, what are all you people doing?
Now, I have a sunroof in the car too, and I probably underutilize the heck out of it. When I got it, I was like, I'm going to use this all the time. And I haven't opened it in months.
There's one. There's not one in the car I drive every day, but in the car, like, we take the kids in everywhere, there's one in it. Open it all the time. And just be beaming into the car. Feels great.
Are you the guy that has the windows down, you're at the stoplight, and you don't care if your music's loud and annoying everybody?
Well, I don't think I listen to it that loud in a car, but what do I care? What is this? What is this? An inconvenience for you for like 15 seconds?
I don't know why I need the windows.
I'm so.
You act like I need my windows cracked as if I'm smoking a cig and I don't want the car to smell. The windows don't have to be cracked.
I'm surprised less people don't drive around with the windows down. This person says they're not trying to catch the virus. Is that a concern with the windows down? Should I have considered this factor?
I doubt that. That should be a concern there.
Someone says as a former smoker, their windows always cracked regardless of the weather outside.
Okay, there you go.
Like, I mean, the allergies thing, okay, I guess.
The noise is a big problem on the highway.
I am understanding.
And sometimes, like, the wind, like, the pressure, like, yeah.
You have to have more than one window crack. That solves it.
Yeah. But then it's even louder.
Like, so, okay, so for instance, like, today, when I leave, I will roll all four windows down.
And we're the lunatics?
I don't ever go all four.
By yourself, all four windows. No kids in the back seat. No dog. Mm-hmm. By yourself, all four windows.
Yeah. Is that weird?
I mean, if I'm near a beach, I'll do it because you want the smell of the ocean. There's no smell of anything.
Fine. So what?
Now, if there's
I'm on my own on this.
You're in the fresh mountain air or ocean breeze. Now we're talking. That's a different story.
Someone says anyone with their windows down above 75 smells bad. I like to smell good. I put on deodorant, I shower, run the AC sometimes if it gets too hot. 75 feels like an awfully low cutoff for the windows down. I guess now this is just going to
text line agrees. All four is lunatic behavior.
It is not lunatic behavior, man.
85 to 95 is not a nice day. I agree. That's not a nice day.
Like, look, they got a good reason. From the 913, we're going to shop that has no AC. So I'm windows up most of the time in the summer.
Sweat either way.
Someone says I have too much stuff in my car. The wind's always blowing it around.
Okay.
Well, maybe you should clean up your car. I don't know.
Well, if you see somebody driving by themselves.
I do question it. With it all always four feels windows like down, I'm in the minority with windows down. So I understand
just,
that.
Just use the AC.
But I like
can you
the
also,
windows
you know what's driving?
Does anyone else get tired of like the feeling of air conditioning when you've been inside for too long?
What?
Okay, maybe I am a crazy.
I turn it
person.
Off.
You're reminding me
I
of
turn
a scene
it off
from
Han.
You're I do so, that. Yes, I do that. Sometimes you're like, "Oh, it's a little too cold. You're getting too cold." You remind me of a scene from Community where the AC and the guy's like, "This is the actual room temp." And when people are referencing room temp, this is that room. And you're like that's what you were reminding me of.
I get sick of that like circulating air feeling after too long. I'm like, "I can't take it anymore." I'm obviously on my own.
All right. Well, now that you
see, look, roll my windows down all four all the time. It's normal. Okay. He says it's normal.
Yeah, I mean, well, while we're at it, I got to bring this up. We're talking cars. So I don't know if you've noticed this in the work parking lot. You park normally next to Cody. I park kind of on the other side of the building. But I see Cody's car. And today I'm actually parked right behind Cody. I don't know how long it's been this way. It's driving me crazy. Your license plate is dangling.
It's been for 2 days.
Your license plate is dangling, and it looks like it's going to fall off, and it looks like crap. And I'm like, what are you doing, Cody?
So it's been 2 days. I can tell you exactly how long it's been. I went to go change the license plate because I just got the new ones, and the screw broke.
Okay. All right.
And we've been doing house stuff.
Okay.
And my foot's all messed up, and I just haven't gone to go get the
Oh, yeah.
Screw.
How is the foot, by the way?
Not great.
You still looking for the medicine?
Still not good.
That's expired in your house from your wife's surgery?
So that will be fixed by the time you see the car on Monday.
It's
bothering me too.
Get anti-theft screws.
Really?
Yeah, Serta does have experience with that.
Yeah,
doesn't
I've never
I've
had my license plate stolen twice.
Can I just get those at like the general car parts store?
Any regular hardware store or car parts store.
Okay, that'll be solved. No worries. Have no fear, Gold. That'll be solved by Monday.
But if you get in a wreck, they're kind of a pain to get off.
Oh. Well, don't get in a wreck, Cody.
Okay, problem solved.
There you go. All right, well, that's our random question, and I just need to get that off my chest about your car. It was,
don't worry.
It's bugging me. I had some questions. I was like, does he know
this
is going
on? It's been
2 days.
Yeah, I do. The screw broke.
I'm very observant.
It snapped off. No need for apologies. It drives me crazy, too.
Pete Sweeney going to join us in less than 15 minutes. We'll talk some Chiefs with the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. So there's a college program that's holding its players more accountable than professional athletes. Have you seen this? So Louisville, the crazy party that they had where 29 positive tests of COVID happened at Louisville, and we now know how it all happened. Louisville Soccer has dismissed three players from its men's soccer team and suspended three others for holding the party. They found out they held this party last week that resulted in all this test. They haven't released the names of the athletes, but they just kicked three of them off the program. Now, you may say, hey, good, this will send a message. But I'm thinking, this is harsher than what we've seen professional teams do. And I know that the professional teams and the players bring more value and more money, yada, yada, yada. Sure. They're under contract, guaranteed contracts. But still, can we not find the professional athletes then? I can't believe that we saw a college go tougher on the student athlete than we've seen the Marlins or Cardinals go on their players for allegedly going to clubs and casinos.
But you can't. You know how hard it is to punish professional athletes? Like, it's other than fining them, you can't just kick them out of the league. PAs aren't going to allow that for the time being. So that's not really a viable option. And it's kind of hard to prove. Like, we still don't have proof that the Cardinals went to the casino.
Allegedly.
Exactly. That's where
they went to the casino.
They definitely went to the casino.
They went to the casino. Come on, come on.
Derek Jeter's guys didn't just go get milk. Okay, I'm not.
And Lou Williams didn't just go and get wings. Let's be real here.
Absolutely, which is why you fine them or do the things like that. But kicking them out of the league is difficult. Part of me, though, like, is it wrong again? I just question the NCAA, and I just start thinking that they're doing it gold so that they can, like, cancel that program anyway.
Yeah. No, and I get it as a Texan. I was like, hey, what about, it's the players union. You know, I understand why they can't just, again, there's contracts, there's,
you know. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. It does seem like, kind of hollow. That
the optics are like, what the heck?
Well, that was Major League Baseball's problem. But again, they have not done a good job at punishing anybody. The Astros cheated and admitted to cheating, and they got no suspensions and nothing happened. Like, a couple of dudes in the front office got suspended. The end of list. So, and then, like, players keep getting other people tested positive with COVID. Have they been punished? No. And a lot of that is in baseball. That is it, though. The players' union holds so much power. And I don't want to become the, like, petty punishment guy, because I get really annoyed in baseball or in the NFL when they're like, all right, we fined you $10,000. You're like, whoa, 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 what for? You're like, your socks are the wrong color. Shut up. Give me the check. Like, I don't like turning into that over things either. So there's this weird fine line of, like, at what level do you punish people? COVID-19 lack of security feels like a fairly obvious one, and that's why the NFL has agreed to allow their players to be fined. Baseball's player union is so strong.
I know. It's just frustrating when by the way, hopefully this does send a message to those on the campus of Louisville, but it's just that, the text line, and I think it's a great point from one of these texters that says, you know, Louisville kicking players off for throwing parties, but yet they defended Rick Pitino to the NCAA and for all, you know, the strippers and the dorms and all this, but Louisville's going to do this. Now, I would argue nobody was dying because of the strippers, okay? Nobody's health is at risk because of the strippers, all right? There's one's a virus, and death is an option here.
It's also because it's soccer.
Easier to kick off. You're saying easier to kick off the soccer player than the football or basketball player.
If they have a top five basketball team in the nation, they're not dismissing three key players of that team.
Valid point. Absolutely valid point. Let's get to last minute.
Last minute.
The Denver Broncos social media team this week posted a video that showed players masked up in jerseys and shorts on their way to practice, filing through a walkthrough sanitizing booth. So I did a little research on these sanitizing booths. The problem, according to health officials, is that there's no data that says those sanitizing booths help in any way against COVID-19. If a player enters the booth infectious, they are still infectious when they leave the booth.
So it truly is just optics. We're here. We're trying. We're making an effort to make it look like we're
doing
something.
Look at the man behind the curtain. It's show safety.
I mean, it's not hurting anybody, at least, but my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, so they can just skip it. It's just a waste of everybody's time.
So we shouldn't be doing these, like, spray-by, you know, antibacterial stuff. Oh, by the way, how long is that going to last, too?
Well, it's like the air systems that people are selling now that they say kill COVID-19 particles in the air. Like, we all know that's fake, right? We all know that's a scam, right?
This is the same as the guy who sold you the machine that, like, the sun cured your, like, dysentery. Right? I mean, it's essentially that.
Any product that someone taking advantage of the current climate and time, I can make some money off this. Where I'm technically not doing anything wrong.
By the way, if
anything
did do that,
wrong,
why wouldn't we all just be doing that?
Right, we would all be buying these for our homes, and like you'd wake up in the morning and after you got out of the shower,
you guys ever had that like vacuum guy come by? What was the vacuum type? It was like a special vacuum. Be like, look, it kills dust mites 1,000 times more. Blow up a giant photo of it. Ugh,
now, some guy tried to sell us at the door. I didn't answer the door yesterday. Somebody knocked on the door. My car was
My car was
sitting in the driveway. Clearly was home. The dogs were barking. I don't feel like talking. Especially during COVID. I don't need to be talking.
I just lie. I just tell them I rent. Like, I rent this place. Oh, okay. No big deal. Thanks.
Don't even need to open the door.
But the last one who came by to knock my door and try to sell me something, wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah, I'd be
look,
like,
dude,
I'd be like,
you got
get
no
out of
chance
here.
Of me opening this door. You said that like you were John Lithgow and Harry and the Hendersons. Go!
I'd be furious.
He showed up with no mask. I'm like, I'm not answering the door for you. You don't even have a mask.
Yes. Yeah,
you got no chance, pal.
All right, we head into the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. What does he make of the 3 opt-outs? And now, going forward, the cap space the Chiefs have. What should they do with it? That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.